property away from everybody.
You sell property.
I think we're gonna do this, it's like.
Well, they didn't really worry though.
Yeah, so.
Yeah, I, when they reopened, I told my wife, I said, look, we're not, yeah, I mean, well, she's actually, she's the one, because she's in charge, she told me, we're gonna wait a month, and then a month passed.
Is it Johnny?
Yeah. So.
Are you?
If we could have just held on another, I'd say 4 weeks.
A month to pay this $25,000.
Yeah, I just said, we're gonna get this done mid-June, and get everybody going, and I think they could have gotten past this.
Yeah.
And so they just went to some.
I didn't know we needed to.
I didn't know we were going to need it, but.
So.
You can.
Go and have a seat, that's what the waving means.
And then, how about if, will the end of October work for the class? How long is this class on you? It's like a package that they're gonna send you at home, and you read it, answer the questions. I've seen some turn it around in a week.
Okay, that's fine, that's good.
Okay.
Put some of the blue ones out there.
Oh, okay.
And give this one where you want to.
Well, she likes the ones she's got.
Okay. It's virtually not affected, but, you know. So am I moving on to what's in the file?
Yes.
I have blue masks.
Oh, are they? Here's the thing proceeding in the immigration major. And then.
Hello?
Mr. Simon, Judge Dunstall, I guess we're ready to start with our morning calendar.
No.
Hey, Judge.
We're gonna start with Michael Rowley.
And then I'd ask.
Yes.
Thank you.
Is this Mr. Rowley?
Yes.
Mr. Rowley, this is Judge Dunstall, our Valley Magistrate. We're on the line with Mr. Simon, who's the town, Assistant Town Prosecutor. This is the time set for your initial appearance and arraignment. Mr. Simon, was there notice to the victims?
This is a mutual combat. They were both charged.
You mean mutual arrests?
Mutual arrests, yes.
Right, okay. Mr. Rowley, you were arrested on May the 25th. You were charged with assault, criminal damage, and two counts of disorderly conduct, all with domestic violence allegations. Mr. Simon, what was the amount of the damage?
A plate.
So it's a class two. The assault and the disorderly conducts are class 1 misdemeanors with a possible maximum penalty of 6 months in jail, 3 years on probation, $4,494 in fines and surcharges. The minimum mandatory penalty would be 6 months, I'm sorry, would be 26 sessions of domestic violence counseling. Do you understand all that?
Yes,
Mr. Simon, were risk assessments completed by the police?
Let me take a look here. I don't believe so. I don't see it, Judge.
And I think there may be an email in there, but I usually keep the email from Sheila in there, but not from him. I called for him.
Okay. State asking jail?
No, Your Honor.
Mr. Rowley, you have the right to a plea of not guilty. You have the right to have an attorney represent you, but that doesn't necessarily mean court-appointed counsel. The decision to appoint counsel is based on your possible economic status and the possible maximum penalty that you're facing. You have the right to a trial. You have the right to remain silent and to be present at all court proceedings. Do you understand all that?
Yeah, I do.
Thank you, Mr. Rowley. Mr. Simon, I'm kind of confused. we already have another amendment to this, and you, the way the amendment is in here, it's filed as a motion to amend to add yet another count of criminal damage, I'm sorry, disorderly conduct, but this is not an appropriate medium in which to do that. You either have to file a wrong-form complaint, or they have to use the Uniform Traffic Citation complaint form. But why three counts?
What amendment are you referring to, Judge?
Well, it was dated by somebody on May 25th. Mr. Seidel signed off on it.
Oh, I see.
And I don't know who Victor 182 is, but, you know, we get into the same old argument. I mean, it's one act. How can one act result in three charges that are identical?
Oh, I'm looking at it now. The amendment had to do with the subsections and the way the IT has it set up. We are forced to only pick one subsection, so it's not two charges, it's just two theories. But
Mr. Simon, that's all that it says. It says add third charge of DV disorderly conduct.
Oh, you're talking about that. I thought you were talking about the A1 and A4 on disorderly conduct. My mistake, let me see. Add third charge. Yeah, no, you can't do that. Disregard that, Your Honor.
Okay, we will. I'll just write on it denied. Initial it. Okay? So, Mr. Worley, we're going to enter a plea of not guilty on your behalf. We're going to set your case for a pretrial conference. Nancy will need a date. We're going to give you a couple of pamphlets from the Pima County Bar Association that might help you get some legal advice or potentially some reduced cost legal assistance if you can't afford to hire a regular attorney. They're just a suggestion, but it would be a possibility. You should get a copy of your police reports, which you can either get by writing the police department or the prosecutor's office before you go talk to any attorney, so that the attorney knows what the police are alleging.
The prosecutor told me something about doing 5 hours of anger management
every week that's left. Okay, Mr. Simon, I was unaware that there was a possible informal diversion on the table. Is September 2nd adequate enough to get that done?
You're talking to me?
I'm talking to both of you.
Yes, that's enough for the space.
All right, so we're going to... We set it for September 2nd, what time, Nancy?
9.
At 9 o'clock in the morning. And Mr. Worley, I guess you're going to be working on whatever it is you agreed to work with Mr. Simon. And if you get him the proofs, it's very likely that he'll move to dismiss before the 2nd. But if you don't, I guess you still have to come back to court on the 2nd and we can issue a warrant and you could be charged with failing to appear.
Yeah.
Okay, do you have any questions?
No, I would show up. I'm
going to
get the anger management done, not a problem.
All right, but why don't you come on into the lobby to the third window? Our court security officer will have you sign the minute entry, if we can find him, and he'll give you those pamphlets and get you on your way, okay? Do you need a list of the providers for the anger management?
Yes.
All right, we'll put that in with the other information, too. Now, I'll just highlight... I wonder what happened to my other markers. I know.
I'm not
a grandpa. It's okay. No, that's not mine. It's pretty, but it's not mine. You got to remember, we don't recommend any of the agencies on the list. We just provide you the list, okay?
Oh, yeah, Mom.
Do you have any questions?
You said that you're removing some of the charges, basically, because there were too many charges.
No, that's not quite what I said. What I said was that the state had attempted, through an inappropriate, legally deficient manner, to add yet another charge.
Okay.
So, that's not going to happen, all right?
Okay.
Come on in.
Thank you very much. I'll be in right now. Are we done?
Yes, we are. Thank you. Come on in.
Hey,
how are you doing? What am I doing?
She forgot to sign that when they appointed her, Kristen, so I need a signature on that, but it's a diversion from the shelter.
Mr. Simon, are we going to move forward with Ms. Raimondo because she's here with her attorney?
Okay, Judge.
Are you Jamie Raimondo? I have a plea agreement that indicates that at this time you're going to enter a plea with no contest to one count of shoplifting. You'd be placed in 12 months on supervised probation. Would you violate your local, state, or federal law, don't return to the Walmart at 2150 East Tangerine Road. And you have to go through an organization called Wise Choice Alternatives. And there are two options for completing it. One is completely online, and the other one is that they will send you a workbook.
Okay.
And you fill out all the lessons in the workbook, and you have to mail them back. Well, you can just complete them online, and once you complete them online, they have them automatically.
Okay.
And it's going to cost you, I think, $120. If you successfully complete that, the state has agreed to dismiss this charge at the end of the 12 months. Correct, Mr. Salter?
That's correct, Your Honor.
If, on the other hand, you were to fail to complete the classes or, I'm sorry, complete the workbook, or you are arrested for or cited for a criminal offense, the state can move to revoke the diversion, you would be found guilty of the shoplifting and could be sentenced to the possible maximum of 6 months in jail, 3 years on probation, $4,494 in fines and surcharges. So, is that your understanding of this agreement?
Yes.
And is that your signature on the second page?
Yes.
And you went over to Mr. Salter before you signed it?
Yes.
And do you believe you understand the terms and consequences of this plea?
I do.
And do you understand? Strike that. Is that your signature on the waiver of immigration admonition?
Yes.
And did you read it before you signed it, or did you go over with your attorney?
I went over it with my attorney.
And you understand it's unlawful in the state of Arizona to take property belonging to a merchant, remove it from the display, or conceal it with the intention of taking it?
Yes.
And the possible maximum penalty is 6 months in jail, 3 years on probation, $4,494 in fines and surcharges. There is no minimum mandatory. Do you understand that?
Thank you.
Are you on parole or probation of any other court?
But, sir, I did look up my, because I was looking up for a speeding ticket at city court, and something popped up, and it said something about being on unsupervised probation, and I'm not on unsupervised probation. I haven't gotten in trouble except for the speeding ticket 3 years ago and this. So,
you might want to try and work that out with city court and find out what's going on. You can't do it in person because they've closed up everything
you
can, I guess. Yeah.
You have to email them, and I've already emailed them.
I can look up her
page,
but she won't
be
here.
Okay. In the meantime, do you understand you're not compelled to accept this plea agreement? That you have every right to enter a plea of not guilty and set up for trial, be trial by jury?
I do.
Means we would have called in about 30 residents from the town. I had no idea where we would have put them. But we'd have had 30 of them. We'd have asked them questions to see if they could be fair and impartial. And after the selection process, we'd have had six people who would have listened to the evidence from the jury instructions. They alone would have decided whether or not you were guilty. Do you understand that?
Thank you.
After trial, you'd have had the right to have an attorney represent you. Mr. Salter has been with you thus far. So I'm assuming you understand the right to counsel, but it would have extended throughout that trial and any appeal had one been necessary. Yes?
Yes.
Okay. At the trial, you've had the right to be presumed innocent and to remain silent in the state, meaning Mr. Simon would have had to prove you were guilty beyond a reasonable doubt with evidence he alone produced. He could not have called you to testify against yourself, and you could not have been compelled to present any evidence to prove you were guilty. At the trial, you've had the right to confront and cross-examine the state's witnesses. That means Mr. Salter would have asked him questions, see if they were telling the truth. And you've had the right to present your own evidence and your own witnesses. And if your witnesses could not or would not appear voluntarily, you have to compel them to attend the trial using subpoenas issued by the court at no cost to yourself. Do you understand those trial rights?
I do.
You understand you're waiving or giving them up by entering the plea?
I do.
You also understand you give up your right to any direct appeal and you only recourse under Rule 32 of the Rules of Criminal Procedure.
Yes.
Did anyone promise you anything not contained in the written plea agreement to get you to change your plea?
No.
Did they force you or threaten you in any way to get you to change your plea?
No.
Are you doing it voluntarily or are you on free will?
I am.
Are you satisfied with the services of your attorney?
Yes.
Factual basis, Mr. Simon.
On April 8th, year 2020, the defendant went to Walmart located off of 2150 East Tangerine Road within the town limits of Oro Valley. While inside the store, she scanned the merchandise that was displayed for sale. Some of the items were not scanned, so she only paid for, she didn't pay for all the items. And then post-Miranda, there was some talk about why some of the items were not scanned, and there's some talk about how she didn't have enough money.
Mr. Salter, are you satisfied with the factual basis?
I am, Your Honor.
I'll find there's a factual basis to find it into this agreement knowing voluntarily and intelligently it's not the result of force, threats, or promises other than those contained in the plea agreement. I'll accept your plea, proceed according to the terms of the plea agreement. Nancy, can we have the little pamphlet on resources? The little thing that's all folded up.
Oh. This one?
That one. Mr. Londo, I'm going to defer entry of judgment. I'm going to place you on 12 months on supervised probation. I'm going to order you complete the shoplifting classes through Wise Choice Alternatives. Now, the way this works is we as a court will register you with Wise Choice Alternatives.
Okay.
They will then send you a confirmation email, and that will be how you get in touch with them to set up taking the classes, okay?
Okay.
I already pay a one-time $25 court diversion fee. I understand you're able to pay that today.
No.
No. Oh, you, I'm sorry. August 21st. My mistake. And you're not returned to the Walmart at 2150 East Tangerine Road and violate no laws. Listen. Oh, could you come on up and, Mr. Salter, if you could take that too to sign, that would be good. Ma'am, I've included this pamphlet that we've got that might help you. It provides resources where you can find things like food and shelter and those kinds of things in case you need it, okay?
All right.
So there's all your paperwork. Do you have any questions?
No, I don't.
All right. Good luck. Thank you, Mr. Salter.
Well, I was looking about there's some cases, but it
looks like the seasoning. Oh, is some of that more?
No, there's nothing more recent. It just popped up. It wasn't there before.
Mr. Mondo, can Mr. Salter see your paperwork? There's one of those that's supposed to go to him, like the yellow copy of the sentencing minute entry.
I'm
so sorry. I'm so out of practice distributing paperwork.
No, I did not. I realize I should not have been here today like this.
So, have you got a phone or a...
Yeah, okay.
So,
I know you have it.
Okay.
Thank you, Mr. Salter. Tell your father I said hello.
Oh, no, we're keeping him safe.
Uh-huh.
It'll come up with a link that you put your name and your company and your birthday, and you'll pull everything out.
Everything from all courts?
Anything except Superior. It won't pull Superior Court, but any of the Tucson City, Justice Court, any of those will pull.
Okay.
Oh.
So, take that with you. And then if you find something that you just can't get to it, then call back at the front counter and ask for an answer, and I'll help you.
Okay.
All right, bye.
Thank you.
Take care, Tina.
You too.
No. I shouldn't have brought these in here with me because I've already gotten confused. What about Mr. Hatfield? What are we doing with him?
Well, he has to talk to Troy. He came in and was yelling and hit him such a fit.
So, Mr. Simon, we have a defendant who really needs to talk to you, and he came in and he staged the scene in the front lobby.
Mm-hmm.
He's elderly. He's involved in a dispute with his neighbor over an easement on his property. There's an action pending in Superior Court about that. But he has done some things, as I understand it, which are going to cause me to recuse if it goes to trial. But he was just completely out of control this morning in the lobby. He may be willing to get on the line and talk. He may not. We don't know. But we'll do the others first. And
yeah, he should probably hire a lawyer. As you indicated, he already has a lawyer in the civil matter. I've been in touch with the victim's civil attorney, and I filed a long-form complaint, so we'll see what he wants to do.
And that's the victim, and he wanted to be called and present for today's hearing.
Such fun people.
Yeah.
All right.
Here you go, Anson.
Do we need to actually talk to Mr. Truehill? Truehill. So he came off of the other stack that I have now mixed in with these. My bad. So I'll put him back over there. Okay, well, we're not going to do that first. We'll go on with Augustine Romero.
Okay.
Mr. Simon on Romero, is that the Bridges 8-hour program?
Yes, Your Honor.
All right, thank you.
I've already gave him my Bridges.
Romero. Do we have any more people who are asking to be in the courtroom with us?
No, sir. That was a mess up on my part.
Don't worry, Ben.
Hello.
Is this Augustine Romero?
Yes, sir.
This is Judge Dunscombe. I'm the Oro Valley Magistrate. We're on the line with Mr. Simon, who's the town assistant prosecutor, and we're on the record in court. And I have a plea diversion agreement, I understand it.
Yes.
That you're going to enter plea no contest to one kind of unlawful possession, narcotics paraphernalia. You gain 4 months unsupervised probation. You have to complete a one-time 8-hour substance use class through a group called Bridges. It's only offered one time each month. It's always on a Saturday. As we understand it, it's now online. You must sign up and pay for the class in advance, and it's going to cost you $55.
Yes.
Okay. If you successfully complete the class and you are neither cited for nor arrested for a criminal offense in the next 12 months, the state's agreed that at the end of the 12 months, the charge will be dismissed. If, however, you don't complete the class, but you are cited or arrested for a criminal offense, you could be then found guilty of the offense. The possible maximum penalty for which would be 6 months in jail, 2 years on probation, $4,494 in fines and surcharges, and the minimum mandatory penalty for which is you must be placed on probation in order to participate in appropriate substance use counseling. So, do you understand all that?
Yes, sir.
I have a Notice of Rights Counsel and Labor form that has your signature on it. Did you read that form before you signed it?
Yes.
So you understand you have the right to have an attorney represent you even this morning, the benefits an attorney may have provided for you and that you're waiving or giving up your right to have an attorney by proceeding without one at this time?
Yes.
I have nailed it. And do you understand, are you on parole probation out of any other court?
No, sir.
Do you understand that you're not compelled to accept this plea diversion offer? You have every right to enter a plea of not guilty, set your case for a trial on both of the charges, including the suspended license. It would be a trial to the court or to a judge. At that trial, you would have had a number of rights. You'd have had the right to have an attorney represent you. It doesn't necessarily mean court-appointed counsel. It means the right to be represented by counsel. The decision to appoint counsel is based on your financial status and the possible maximum penalty that you would be facing if found guilty for the offense. At the trial, you have the right to be presumed innocent and to remain silent in the state, means the prosecutor. What about to prove you were guilty? Beyond a reasonable doubt, would evidence he alone produced. He could not have called you to testify against yourself. And you could not have been compelled to present any evidence to prove you were guilty. At your trial, you would have the right to confront and cross-examine the state's witnesses. I mean, ask them questions, see if they're telling the truth. And you've had the right to present your own evidence and your own witnesses. And if you had witnesses who could not or would not appear voluntarily, the right to compel them to attend the trial using subpoenas issued by the court at no cost to yourself. Do you understand those trial rights?
Yes, sir.
Do you understand your waiver give up those trial rights by entering into this plea?
Yeah.
Do you also understand you're giving up your right to any direct appeal and the only recourse is under Rule 32 of Rules of Criminal Procedure?
Yes.
I know that you said yes to that question. Rule 32 is a rule that allows folks to enter plea agreements and at other times, if convicted by juries, to make constitutional challenges to their convictions. But it would have to be based on something like later discovered evidence or something, some constitutional violation, okay? So that's what Rule 32 is. Did anyone promise you anything not contained in the written plea to get you to change your plea?
No.
Did they force you or threaten you in any way to get you to change your plea?
No, sir.
Are you doing this voluntarily and of your own free will?
Yes, sir.
Factual basis, Mr. Simon.
On May 29th, 2020, the defendant was pulled over for a traffic violation, making a right turn on the red where it was prohibited. In the area of Oracle Road in Tangerine, within the town of Saboro Valley. During the traffic stop, the police officer smelled an odor of marijuana, which led to a search. And let's see, there was a Ziploc bag containing marijuana. The state would submit that the bag was paraphernalia. There was also a scale and a plastic cup with residue.
Is that a satisfactory factual basis, Mr. Romero?
Yes.
I find there is a factual basis of finding into this agreement knowingly, voluntarily, and intelligently it's not the result of force, threats, or promises other than those contained in the plea agreement. I'll accept your plea and proceed according to the terms of the plea agreement. I'm going to defer into your judgment, place you on 12 months on supervised probation, or you're violating a local, state, or federal law. You have to complete the one-time 8-hour class through Bridges, so it's only a single agency that you can go to, and you have to have proof that you've completed that back to the court by October 30th. It's up to you to make sure we get your certificate for completing the class, okay? They say they'll do it, but they don't.
Okay.
Okay? There's a one-time $25 court diversion fee. When can you pay that?
I already paid it.
We did.
Oh! I'm also going to dismiss on motion of the state the driving on the suspended license charge. Do you have any questions? Oh,
no, sir, I don't have any questions.
All right, if you want to come into the lobby and go to the third window, did you get in the Bridges?
Yes.
Okay, and you've already got the Bridges paperwork, right?
Yes, sir.
Okay, so you come on in. Dan's going to have you sign this to give you your copy and get you on your way, all right?
All right, sir.
All right. Good luck, sir.
Thank you.
So,
what are we doing at Groves? Groves is at 10 o'clock, so let's do the other one first.
So Hatfield's out in the parking lot, and then...
Well,
I mean, the pillory is actually, it's okay.
My hearing's gone.
Hmm?
My hearing's gone, okay, his wife.
He has two charges?
No, he's got a long form complaint too.
Okay then. So Mr. Simon, you, let me just look. You are familiar with this case because you signed the long form.
Yes, sir.
All right, we're going to get him on the phone and I'm going to give him an opportunity to speak with you first. If he, is there any point in it or should we just plow through the arraignment?
Your Honor, my recommendation is advise him of his rights, his charges, plow through the arraignment, and we're asking for jail, and then we'll see where it goes.
Okay. Let me get him on the, you know, I'm going to get the victim on the line first.
Okay.
I just don't, I'm not sure how this has become very unpredictable. Mr. Seaman, this is George Dunscombe. I'm the Ore Valley Magistrate. You are apparently listed as the victim in the matter of State versus Douglas Hatfield?
Yes.
Okay, so we're doing everything on the telephone. I'm now going to try and get Mr. Hatfield on the telephone. If I have questions, I will ask you. Have you had an opportunity to talk to the prosecutors about this case?
I didn't get a chance, they didn't interview me or anything, Your Honor. We've been communicating via email. I think we spoke on the phone also. Okay, yes. Mr. Simon, do you feel the need to talk to Mr. Seaman at this time? Just real briefly, the defense is going to be arraigned. We're going to set up for a pre-trial conference. We'll see if the defendant hires a lawyer. That's pretty much it. Okay, thank you very much. Okay, well, you just wait on the line and
we're going to try Mr. Hatfield now. I'm sorry, Mr. Seaman. What was that?
My wife is in the room with me.
Okay. Is that a problem?
No, I'm just learning about disclosure.
Oh, well, I mean, if you were appearing in the court building, she could be here in the courtroom with you, so it's really not different, okay?
Okay.
But thanks for telling us.
I'm sorry, the person you are trying to reach has a voicemail box that has not been set up yet. Please try your call again later. Goodbye.
Well, let me look on the citation.
I have one in the protective order column in it.
We're not sure. Is he still looking?
I'm pulling it up right now.
I'm going to try that number one more time.
Can you
get this
call,
Sharon Hatfield?
Yes.
I have her
human
contact.
Okay, hang on, hang on. Okay, Ms. Hatfield is trying to call into the front, so the call will be transferred in, and then we'll merge it into this one.
Go ahead, Commissioner.
Thank you.
Alright, let me say that I thought the call was being transferred in.
Esmeralda. We'll transfer her in.
Hang up on her.
Hang up on her.
Okay, we'll try calling it again. Apparently they hung up on our clerk. We didn't know it.
I'm sorry, the person you are trying to reach has a voicemail box that has not been set up yet. Please try your call again later. Goodbye.
Well, we got one of the number. Let's try that. No, is this Douglas Hatfield?
Yes, I'll be there in 1 minute.
No. You don't, nobody comes into the courtroom except by special arrangement, and we haven't made any. This is George Stone, Skamora Valley Magistrate. We're conducting all of our proceedings on the telephone because of the COVID issue. So, are you in your car in the parking lot?
Yes, I am.
Okay, good. Why didn't you stay there, and we'll go ahead and proceed on the phone, if that's all right.
That'd be perfect.
Okay, so we've got Mr. Simon from the town prosecutor's office on the other line, as well as the victim, Mr. Seaman.
Let me rephrase that, please. He's not a victim.
Mr. Hatfield, this is not a debate. I don't debate with people over these issues. Judges okay. are the... arbiters, if you will, or the referees in these proceedings, the state has designated who the victim is, and it's in their sole discretion to do that, okay? So, that's okay, now good. Now you have two files. You have one that is written on the Uniform Arizona Traffic Ticket and Complaint Form from June the 16th, in which you're charged with criminal trespass as a first degree, as a class one misdemeanor. You also have a long-form complaint for events that also occurred on May 17th, charging you with two counts of harassment, one count of threatening and intimidating, and one count of criminal nuisance. All four, or five actually, are considered Class 1 misdemeanors. The possible maximum penalty for which would be 6 months in jail, 3 years on probation, $4,494 in fines and surcharges, and on for which there is no minimum mandatory penalty on any of these offenses. Do you understand all that?
Yes.
You have the right then to plead not guilty on all charges. You have the right to have an attorney represent you. The decision to appoint counsel is based on your financial status, meaning if you can afford to hire an attorney, I can't appoint one for you. You have the right to have a trial on all these charges. You have the right to remain silent and to be present at all court proceedings. Do you understand all your basic rights?
Well,
our lawyer
has COVID virus right now.
My attorney, or one of my attorneys, has COVID virus.
That's
so
unfortunate. Okay. Well,
Let me say not guilty.
Okay.
On all charges.
Thank you, Mr. Hatfield. We're going to enter a plea of not guilty on all the charges. The state has already noticed that they're asking for jail time.
You want me to go to jail?
No. Stop. The state has requested that. The decision as to whether you're sentenced to jail is determined by the court. It's not determined by the prosecutor, but they have the right to make that request. And it's one of the criteria we would have used to determine whether we would appoint an attorney, okay?
I'm laughing about this whole thing because...
Mr. Hatfield, remember back when I was reading your rights just a few minutes ago? One of your rights is the right to remain silent, and I'm encouraging you that you use it, okay?
Can I say something?
Yes, ma'am.
No, ma'am, you're not his attorney, so I'm afraid that I can't actually let you participate in these proceedings.
Well, his attorney is sick with the COVID virus, so we got to give him some time to get better.
Now that you've done what I asked you not to do, we're not going to set the pretrial really quickly. When is it?
How far out do you want
to do? Let's do 6 weeks. May I ask your attorney's name?
Christopher Jeffrey.
Okay. We were unaware Mr. Jeffrey was ill. I'm sorry to hear that.
Yeah, I just dropped off some paperwork yesterday at his address on Tucson Boulevard, and he was he looked okay, but he said, "Don't get near me. I got it."
Oh well, at least he's not in the hospital on a ventilator, right?
Yeah, he's a young puppy, so.
Okay.
Let's do September 2nd.
How about September 2nd?
Let's do it at
10 o'clock.
That's fine by me. I'm in the parking lot. I can't check my calendar, but I believe that's okay. If there's a conflict, I will let you guys know.
All right. So, Mr. Hatfield, the only other issue I wanted to address with you at this time is your conduct when you first came to court this morning. And I understand you were upset because you thought you had a 9 o'clock appointment. Well, the reality of court calendars is that we had initially 16 people who were supposed to be here at 9 o'clock, and not everybody gets to be seen at 9. And we have procedures and protocols to try and get everybody through this proceeding in as organized and rapid method as we can. And you yelling, no, you let me talk now.
Go for it.
You yelling and being abusive to my court staff is not acceptable. When you curse at them, you're cursing at me, and you do it again, I will hold you in contempt and have the officers arrest you for contempt of court. Do we understand each other?
Yes, we do. Would you like me to walk over to the police department right now? Because this person, the guy in the white shirt, was very abusive to me.
In your words,
Mr.
Hatfield, we are not debating this. I am clearly just telling you that you were abusive to one of my clerks. She's already reported it to me. If you ever do that again, I will hold you in contempt. I do not, this is no one, this isn't a discussion. So if you'll come into the lobby now, we're going to give you a document to sign acknowledging that you received the September 2nd court date, and we're going to be finished unless you have some other questions.
Do you want me to walk into the lobby accepting? I cannot accept that because I don't have my calendar in front of me.
Mr. Hatfield, if it doesn't work for you, you and your attorney can file a motion to continue and we'll discuss it at that time, okay?
Perfect.
But for right now, we have a court date.
Should I walk in now and sign the document for the second?
Yes, please.
Okay.
Come to the third window, okay?
Okay, you got it.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Should I take it?
Yes, please.
I know.
Right.
So, Judge,
you can hang up, Ms. Hatfield.
You can hang up, Duke. No, you said I can. I don't have to.
You said you can hang up.
I don't want to have to. You said I can. I don't have to. Just ordering me to hang up.
Okay, but you can't talk anymore. I can't make you hang up, but you're not allowed to talk. Your proceeding is finished. No, your proceeding is finished.
You can hang up.
Oops. Mr. Seaman, any questions?
Yes, I just wanted to write down your name. I didn't get a chance to tell you. What is your name, sir?
Well, I'm George Dunscombe. I'm the magistrate.
Oh, okay. Nice to talk to you again, Mr. Dunscombe.
All right.
Thank you very much. I appreciate the call, and I hope everything works out.
So do we.
We'll talk tomorrow.
So do we. Bye-bye.
Okay, thank you.
Bye-bye. So, Mr. Hatfield's kind of hot and cold, isn't he? I guess we have a plea ready on Tia Jackson with Mr. Bland.
Okay.
We'll start with Mr. Bland.
Hello?
Mr. Glenn, George Dunscombe, we got Mr. Simon on the line.
Morning, sir. How are you?
So far, so good. It's been just a really, really fun Monday morning.
Oh, yeah.
That's slammed, huh? Oh, we had somebody go off on my clerk because his hearing, his initial appearance was at 9. Well, that's an appointment, and he expected to be seen at 9 and get out of there. So he cursed it out, and Dan got involved, and then the police got involved, and so on. So I'm going to call Ms. Jackson.
All right, she's there.
She is here.
It's in the tunnels.
Hello?
Is this Tia Jackson?
Yes, Yana.
This is George Dunscombe, Moore Valley Magistrate. We've got Mr. Glenn, your attorney, on the line. We got Mr. Simon from the prosecutor's office on the line, and we're on the record in court. How are you doing today?
I'm good, Your Honor. Thank you. How are you?
So far, so good. I mean, we're surviving. I have a plea agreement that indicates that at this time you're going to change your plea of not guilty on one count of shoplifting and change it to no contest. You'll be placed on 12 months on supervised probation, sentenced to 180 days in jail, 176 suspended. You'll be given credit for 4 days' time served. Ordered to pay $500 in fines and surcharges, all 500 suspended. 12 months on supervised probation, violating the laws, don't return to Walmart, Kohl's, or Target, Moore Valley, and you have to pay restitution in the amount of $11.97. What's that for, Mr. Simon?
It's for salmon that cost $23.20, and he was with another person, so I split the difference.
Okay. The state's agreed to dismiss 4 other counts of shoplifting, 1 count of conspiracy to commit shoplifting, and 2 counts of disorderly conduct. So is that your understanding of the plea agreement, Ms. Jackson?
Yes, Your Honor.
Did you go over with Mr. Glenn before he signed it?
Yes, Your Honor.
Do you understand, do you believe you understand the terms and consequences of this plea agreement?
Yes, Your Honor.
Mr. Glenn, are there other felony charges pending?
Yeah, they're about to be resolved. I spoke with her felony attorney. Her opinion was there's no problem with her taking this plea.
Okay.
She didn't think it would affect her ongoing felony.
Well, Ms. Jackson, on the face of this... Dan, what's going on in the parking lot? Somebody have to go to leaf blower or something? Because it's being picked up.
Sorry, it was a truck. I'm sorry.
Oh, it's okay. It stopped. What happened?
I guess he turned it off.
Oh. Yeah, because we were picking it up. Not only could we hear it on your phone, we could just hear it.
Yeah.
Sorry, it was an accident. Sorry for that, Dan. I'll mute myself.
All right, so... looking at this plea agreement, Ms. Jackson, I have to say that this is a rather generous plea agreement. Could you agree?
Yes, Your Honor, I do.
I have a form that has your signature that says Waiver of Immigration Admonition. Did you read that form before you signed it?
Yes, Your Honor.
Okay. Do you understand it's unlawful in the state of Arizona to take property belonging to a merchant, conceal it, or remove it from the display with the intention of taking it?
Yes, Your Honor.
And the possible maximum penalty would be 6 months in jail, 3 years on probation, $4,494 in fines and surcharges. There is no minimum mandatory penalty. Do you understand that?
Yes, Your Honor.
Are you in parole, probation, out of any other court?
Probation.
Out of which court?
I'm on unsupervised probation through city court, and then I'm on probation, like supervised probation, out of Illinois, but I transferred it down here to get all of my old matters handled.
So, Mr. Glenn, have you discussed with her the possibility that either the city court or the Illinois could... Well, or the Pima County Adult Probation could move to revoke her probation as a result of this conviction.
Yes, but it was the opinion of her felony attorney that would probably not be an issue.
Okay. And you still want to proceed, Ms. Jackson?
Yes, Your Honor.
All right. Do you understand you're not compelled to accept this plea? Do you have any right to enter with your plea of not guilty and set up for trial? Be trial by jury. What that means is we would have brought in about 30 residents, and I keep telling people I have no idea where we would put them at this particular moment in history. And the judge and lawyers would ask them questions to see if they could be fair and impartial jurors, and after the selection process, we would have had 6 of those folks. They'd have listened to all the evidence and jury instructions. They alone would have decided whether or not you were guilty. Do you understand that?
Yes, Your Honor.
After trial, you've had a number of other rights, including the right to have an attorney represent you. And Mr. Glenn has represented you thus far, so I'm assuming that you understand that right to counsel, that it would have extended throughout the trial and any appeal had one been necessary.
Yes,
you understand that. At the trial, you've had the right to be presumed innocent and to remain silent in the state, that means the prosecutor, was that the prisoner were guilty beyond a reasonable doubt with evidence he alone produced. He could not have called you to testify against yourself, and you could not have been compelled to present any evidence proving you were guilty. At your trial, you'd have the right to confront and cross-examine the state's witnesses. That means Mr. Glenn would have asked them questions to see if they could, see if they were telling the truth. And you'd have the right to present your own evidence and your own witnesses. And if you had witnesses who could not or would not appear voluntarily, you'd the right to compel them to attend the trial using subpoenas issued by the court at no cost to yourself. Do you understand those trial rights?
Yes, Your Honor.
You understand you waive or give up those trial rights by entering into this plea?
Yes, Your Honor.
You also understand you're giving up your right to any direct appeal, and your only recourse is under Rule 32 of the Rules of Criminal Procedure.
Yes, Your Honor.
Did anyone promise you anything not contained in the written plea agreement to get you to change your plea?
No, Your Honor.
Did they force you or threaten you in any way to get you to change your plea?
No, Your Honor.
Are you doing it voluntarily and of your own free will?
Yes, Your Honor.
Are you satisfied with the services of your attorney?
Yes, Your Honor.
Factual basis, Mr. Simon.
On February 20th, year 2020, the defendant went to Walmart located off of 2150 East Tangerine Road within the town of Cibola Valley. At that time, the defendant went into Walmart. She walked out of the store with a curling iron. Actually, it's a curling iron. The other person had the salmon. And did not pay for the purchase price. It was displayed for sale, and she didn't pay for it. And that dollar amount is $11.97 for the curling iron, Judge.
Are you satisfied with that as a factual basis, Mr. Glenn?
Yes, I am, Your Honor.
Ms. Jackson, based on the factual basis in your plea of no contest, I'm going to find you guilty of the shoplifting offense and place you on 12 months of unsupervised probation. I'm going to order you violating the local, state, or federal laws. I'm going to order you not return to the Walmart, Kohl's, or Target in Moore Valley. I'm going to order that you pay $500 in fines and surcharges, all of it suspended. I'm going to sentence you to 180 days in jail. 176 are suspended, and we're going to give you 4 days credit for time served. Or you pay a $20 time payment fee, a $25 court security fee, $65 warrant fee, and $11.97 in restitution. It's a total of $121.97. Nancy, we don't have the dismiss charges on here. $13,1805 times 4. Can I just write all the charges?
Okay.
What's the total financial obligation?
Rounded off, $122.
Okay, that includes restitution, security fee, and warrant fee, basically.
Yes.
Okay. And the one-time time payment fee. Okay, thank you, Judge.
And I'm going to just do a blanket order dismissing all the other charges, but you'll have to do them individually in Ajax, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Ms. Jackson, what's your financial situation at the moment?
I work at Jamba Juice. I work 20 hours.
A week?
Yeah.
How much do you think you could pay towards this $122? On a monthly basis?
Probably 25, because I owe a few other expenses at other courts.
Do you want to make the payment on the first of the month or the middle of the month?
Can it be maybe towards the middle of the month, please?
Yes, how about August 17th?
That's good.
That's your first payment. Don't forget to make them, because that could be used, the state can use it as a reason to revoke your probation. Do you understand that?
Yes, Your Honor. So every month on the 17th?
Yes, ma'am. And you can actually pay those online. Nancy, could we put that little green sticker on your coffee thing? Or on the telephone, all right? So we've got...
Okay.
We do need... I think we've gotten all your signatures. We just need to deliver to you a copy of the sentencing minute entry, I think. Right, Dennis?
Yes, sir.
All right. Well, if you want to come on into the lobby. We'll get you your paperwork.
Okay, thank you, Your Honor.
Yeah, we have all the other
questions. Mr. Don't ask me if you have any questions, dear.
Okay, I will. Thank you.
Alrighty.
Bye, guys. Be safe.
Did you already go over Chelsea's?
Bye-bye.
No.
Oh.
You started, Nancy.
Oh, I did not. I pushed out. I'm going to have to do the paperwork.
I'm sorry, Nancy.
I fall down. Well, Mr. Dan, these are all his copies, I guess. And this one is going to go to.
Got all of her stuff in.
Let me see
it. It seems like there should be more, but. Sensing an injury proceeding unacceptably.
I'm looking for it. Should have a copy of the plea. If you'll send me the file, I'll give it.
That's what I've been handing, was we needed the plea agreement copy. We didn't have it. So, what are we doing? I'm going to make some Chelsea calling.
Your Honor, the number I have for her, I called it. It says it's not a working number, and she has not reached out to me.
Well, you know, let's just for. Oh, wait a minute. You know who posted her bond?
Samuel Sepulveda?
Yeah, Sylvia Sepulveda's ex-husband.
Oh, really? I saw that name. Okay. Alright.
Mr. Simon, how do you feel about getting Mr. Sepulveda on the phone and telling him that Ms. Collins doesn't make it to court, that he's going to lose his bond?
Yeah, that's a good idea, Your Honor.
Yeah. Could you hand me, her plea's not in here. Can you hand me the other file so we can get her out of here? Is it
Chelsea?
Do you
have another plea? I've got one here that Nancy gave
me. Nancy, I have one. I had to have the plea agreement to read to her. Oh, there it is. Yeah, that's a plea. Which I didn't sign.
Okay. Okay.
And now I don't have those next to me. Just give him a call, see what happens.
At the tone, please record your voice message. When you are finished recording, you may hang up or press pound for more options.
Mr. Sepulveda, this is George Jones, Camore Valley Magistrate. Paperwork in the file for Chelsea Collins indicates that she posted her bond to get her released from custody. She didn't appear for court this morning, and the phone number that she provided her attorney in the court shows it is not a working number. And so what we're going to be doing is issuing an order to show cause why the bond shouldn't be forfeit and why a warrant should not issue. Thank you. Well, all right, gentlemen.
So are we going to reset this, or?
No, I'm kind of inclined to set it for an order to show cause why the bond shouldn't be forfeit and warrant issued.
Okay.
You want to set it on the state when Mr. Glenn is out?
Yes. Mr. Glenn, Nancy's going to look and see when you're coming back next. We'll try and set it on that day.
Okay, that'll be fine. Yeah, I've got some appearances coming up, so. Okay. All right.
Did Mr. Still looking?
Well, he's going to be here August 12th, but it's not on Choice Week. It's on Children's Week.
Mr. Simon, do you care that much?
No, Your Honor.
August 12th it is, Mr. Glenn.
Okay, I'll be there with Mr. King, okay.
All right, have you had any contact with him?
Not yet. I'll reach out to him and see what's going on.
Yeah, that case gets tougher by the date. What time do you want this hearing?
10.
August 12th, 10 o'clock on Ms. Collins' case.
All right.
You get in touch with her, I guess you can file a motion to vacate the OSC and set up a pretrial.
I'll do that. Okay. All right.
Thank you, Mr. Glenn.
All right. Have a good day, everybody.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
You keep giving me these files. What about this guy, Robert Rhodes?
And we have a Zoom meeting for Ed Lewis and Sean Brown. He's ready to hang over.
Why are we doing this?
Now I have to go get the computer.
When we have him on the phone with Sean Brown, I think we need to set Julia up for the power. He's the one that's had cancer.
All right, Mr. Simon, we're going to call Mr. Groves. He has leukemia. He was trying to get online and do these classes with Stonewall.
Okay.
The last information we have from them is that they had sent him paperwork to sign electronically in return, but that was at the beginning of June.
He did pay the fines in full.
He's paid the fines in full. That helps. Hang on. Is this Mr. Groves?
Yes, this is him. Hello.
This is Judge Dunscombe, Moore Valley Magistrate. This is the time set for your review hearing. How are you doing this morning?
Well, I'm doing better since not taking anything with blood transfusion. I've been in the hospital a couple times trying to get my levels corrected. They've been pumping me full of some gun marrow and platelets and so forth to try to get everything back up. But I've been doing better. The Stonewall Institute, they're a pretty good company. They're just hard to get a hold of sometimes.
So are you signed up for your classes yet?
I'm signed up. I actually have a meeting with them at 4 p.m. tonight to finalize everything because I'm just trying to get my blood alcohol level and then also the date from the MVD. So I just have to give that to them tonight and then we're proceeding to go. But I am already registered with them and everything, yeah.
So they haven't done the evaluation yet?
No, we've done the evaluation, yes.
Oh, okay, so what are they requiring? Because we haven't heard back from them.
That's what they were waiting for the blood alcohol level, because they have to see that, and then I believe they're going to do 40 hours, or 36, I believe it was.
All right, so...
So I will know more, I will know exactly how many tonight after 4 o'clock, so probably 5-ish.
I'm thinking we're just going to set this for a telephonic review in about 4 months. What do you think?
Okay.
Hopefully not. Hopefully I can, hopefully we're allowed out without masks in 4 months, but yes.
So, November 10th.
November 10th.
Okay, sir. I'm writing that down right now.
And do we, you're still at the Sycamore Boulevard address?
Yes, no, you guys should have my new one, the 7640 North Becky Joe Lane, Unit 1.
Yes. Oh, Unit 1.
Yeah.
Oh, there it is.
Yes, sir.
Yes, we've got that. So we'll mail you a copy of this minute entry, but you can write it down anyway. All right,
okay.
Thank you, Mr. Groves. I hope you're happy.
Thank you.
Groves.
Thank you, sir, and I hope you all stay safe.
You too. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Mr. Simon, we have Christina Mitchell.
Sir?
Yes, ma'am.
I just got a message from Volvo. They're requesting a continuance. They've been tested for COVID and waiting results.
Oh, sure.
So I'll do a minute.
So we've got a defense motion to continue on the Bravo case. You know, I tell you what, we've got a phone. We have a phone number on Ms. Mitchell, so we're going to hold off. It's on the citation. We may try calling her. And there's a Christina Moore.
He already said no objection.
Okay, did you have contact with the victim on the Christina Moore file?
Let's take a look. Cynthia Moore? Cynthia.
Oh, Cynthia. I'm so sorry.
Yeah, Cynthia. Let's see.
She's from Oklahoma.
We mailed out notice on June 19th. Have not heard back.
Okay, just need to be able to notice it on the file. Let's go ahead and move on with Mr. Lewis and Mr. Veronica, except I gotta go get my computer.
You want to get it,
man? It's okay, Dan. We get to get a mock on Manchu's off the record.
Thank you.
have necessarily. Say that, he has been fairly cooperative with calling in and appearing in court. In fact, I don't know him to have never appeared prior. I think he always showed up or called in some fashion.
Well, we don't have him. We'll see what he does. We need to talk about Julia Lutz, gentlemen. Mr. Lewis, did you get the evaluation from Dr. Moran's?
I guess I
did.
And the rule says you get to put any redactions in that might be incriminating. Statute, statute. No, it's a rule. What am I saying? It's rule 11. But what we really need to do is set it for a hearing, unless.
I was going to say, I didn't know this was on the calendar today, but I was wondering when we were going to get around to chatting about this.
No, it's not on the calendar. We just saw an opportunity to get you both on the line and talk about it because. And it was sent to you back on June 15th. So we're a little bit past the 30 days out.
Yeah, we definitely have. So a couple things going on. As I recall,
the conclusion was that
she was episodic and possibly at that
time. But competent. Yes. She's probably having a weird episodic. I think she might have more than one of those because she had one of those in open court. But she was competent, so. Do we need to have a full-blown hearing, or are you gentlemen willing to accept Dr. Moran's evaluation and set it for pretrial?
I'm willing to accept Dr. Brand's evaluation and set it for a pretrial.
Mr. Simon?
The state accepts the evaluation, Your Honor.
Okay.
Was it his or Tobin's? So no word of that.
Mr. Simon, Nancy was thinking this might be Mr. Silas' case?
I don't know off the top of my head. Either way, you're welcome to set it for on Tobin's week.
Okay.
But, well, I was there when she didn't have her episode. Either way, it doesn't matter to me.
Maybe.
I'll just put it on me. We don't leave him out of the phone. August 19th, that works for Mr. Lewis at 10:30.
That's for pre-trial.
I am available August 19th. What was the time on that?
10:30.
I'm sorry, that's perfect. And I will go through the evaluation for any redactions, Your Honor, and submit those to the court before then. And I will also let Ms. Lutz know, advise her to download the Zoom if she hasn't, or she prefers to appear in person, I guess.
She can appear by telephone if it, and either it's going to be a change of plea or a trial setting.
Yeah, I don't know if we'll, you know, see what happens. Me and Mr. Simon will chat about it at the time, or Mr. Simon. So like,
August, that's what I'm sorry.
19th.
August 19th.
Sounds good, Your Honor.
What time? 10?
10:30.
All right, so that's one down, and we still haven't heard from Mr. Verant. I'm hoping you should.
While we're waiting, Your Honor, or while we're talking, I texted him, are you there? Are you there? And he's not responding. So I don't know what to say, other than what I've already said, that he's fairly good about showing up to
conversations, I guess we could call them. Although not necessarily as good as telling that John Rogers, I guess. But he's in that situation where he's been found incompetent but restorable, so we're in the process of trying to restore him.
I know, and it's kind of futility because he continues to overly use marijuana. I mean, I'm not sure that, what did he call it, heat exhaustion lasts that long.
Yeah, I believe you could drink water, get a cool place, take a cold shower, that just exhausts it. As long as you hydrate, it's all about dehydration. You've got to get hydrated, get your body temperature down, and you're okay. Unless you're an extremely vulnerable person, like extremely old or extremely young. I'm available next Monday. I don't know if you want to just try again next Monday or if you want to next Wednesday or later the week or maybe just same day. I'm going to be calling in for Neil on 23rd. Just make it very, you know, if you want to, you need to try to see if someone can call in at that time. Or that you're going to have too busy the calendar to do that. Just
yes. Well, you don't necessarily need the file. I mean, we just have informed him. I know, but
okay.
There's no point. I gave the bond poster the information we can give him. The ball is in Ms. Collins' court to do so. Do we dare try and call Mr. Garant and see what he says? See the answers?
I called and went to his voicemail.
All right.
I called at the beginning of our conversation here, and I texted him, said, are you there? He's not responding.
230-0826. Gentlemen, so this is the deal. I'm admonishing Mr. Garant that if he does not make an appointment with CHA for the evaluation and keep the appointment, and two, if he fails to appear, So court, warrants can issue for his arrest. Enough is enough. I don't know what else we can do to move this case forward.
Very well, Your Honor.
Any other cases for Mr. Lewis?
Yeah. I believe that's it, Your Honor. Are we going to set another hearing, or just wanted to give him that information?
Oh, yeah, we're just giving him a hearing. Mm-hmm.
A couple weeks.
They're coming back on the 3rd and the 5th. Well, actually, the 5th, not much up in somewhere up in the National Rust. From the morning of the 3rd, that looks like a busy town out there.
That's so a busy town.
Nancy says August 3rd will be fine.
Very well. We'll make it then.
What time, Miss Nancy?
Well,
10. 10 o'clock again.
That works, Your Honor.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Lewis. Excuse. You're stolen one of your rubber bands. Mr. Simon, we're going to try and call. First of all, I'm going to shut off the computer. We'll try and call Ms. Mitchell.
At the tone, please record your voice message. When you are finished recording, or press pound for more options.
Ms. Mitchell, this is George Dunscombe Valley Magistrate. We don't usually call defendants who don't appear in court from the bench, but you had a court appearance on a possession within possession of a prescription drug without a prescription and a drug paraphernalia charge this morning, and you have another civil charge that you have has to be paid by today for driving on a suspended license, and if it's not, it will be defaulted, and that's $300 minimum fine. So you should probably give the court a call back, 229-4780. Thank you. Is that it, Ms. Nancy?
That's it. I'm going to don't. I mean, we called and left a message on his phone, but you don't want to call him back?
Send him a copy of the minute entry.
Contested hearing in case number 046 entitled Jimenez versus Molina. Could you both raise your right hand? Well, first of all, could you both state your names for the record so that if someone else has to listen to this, they can tell who's talking?
Tanya Molina.
Okay.
Crystal Jimenez.
Could you both raise your right hand? Do you both swear or affirm that any information that you provided to the court in the form of words on the petition for order of protection and the request for hearing and anything we talk about here this afternoon all is and will be true to the best of your knowledge, information, and belief?
Yes.
All right, that was Miss... Who said yes?
Tanya.
Okay. And
Ms.
Jimenez? All right. All right. Let's talk first of all about the exhibits. You've listed, Ms. Molina, you've listed people as witnesses, but you've also provided letters that they provided to you. I've read the letters from Ms. Collins and Ms. Riley. Do you still wish to have them testify as witnesses?
Only if you need them to.
Well, I can't make that determination. It's your hearing. Is there any additional information that they... Did either one of them, either Ms. Covens or Ms. Riley, have any knowledge of what may have happened on July 4th in the early morning of July 5th? Other than what you might have told them.
Ms. Kovitz was upstairs when I went to their door. They said I went up there 6 times and I did not go up there 6 times.
Right.
I went up there once and then I called the sheriff.
Okay. All right then. we'll go ahead and hear from Ms. Covens, and we'll admit Ms. Riley's statement, which is marked as Defense Exhibit C. So the witnesses that you're going to call, in addition to yourself, Ms. Montoya, will be Ms. Molina, will be Ms. Covens, and that's the only witness. Now, Ms. Montoya, Ms. Molina, did you get a copy of the police report that Ms. Jimenez submitted as her exhibit?
Yeah, and a lot of the things in there are not things that I even said, as far as they had mentioned something about drug testing, and I never said anything about that.
Well, I'm going to consider Plaintiff's Exhibit 1, Ms. Jimenez's exhibit. I'm not going to consider all the stuff about the order regarding the custody of your son Cruz, but I'll consider it insofar as it relates to what the officer's view may have happened on July 4th and July 5th. All right. So let's begin then, Ms.
On July 5th, nothing happened.
The officer, hold on a second, please. The report says July 5th. It happened at midnight, which is when the clock turns over, so it would be July 5th. So, in any event, Ms. Jimenez...
The call was reported at 10:53.
I'm not going to argue with you about the contents of the report, Ms. Ms. Molina. The report speaks for itself. You will get an opportunity to testify, but the report speaks for itself, and the report indicates that something happened at about midnight. That may have been when Ms. Jimenez called the police, but in any event, something happened in the early morning hours of July 5th. Now, Ms. Jimenez, you indicated that you wanted to call Michael Cisneros. Is he available by phone?
Yes.
And okay, then let's begin. What I'd like to do is have both parties, I'll give you 15 minutes to present your case. As I said, you can operate on the assumption that I've read what you've submitted, but I'll give you 15 minutes, 10 minutes for you to present, and then the other side gets an opportunity to ask questions. Now, be careful asking questions, because the questions is not arguing. It's simply saying, where were you when you saw that? How far away were you? Things of that nature. So, Ms. Jimenez, would you begin presenting additional information other than that what's contained in your original the original petition that was filed with the court?
No, pretty much is what you. I pretty much put everything on there that you needed to know. There's nothing different than what I had already written for you on the restraining order and on the police reports that I gave to you.
Before Ms. Molina asks you any questions, I'm not clear, did Ms. Molina ever tell you that she was looking for her son, Cruz? You mentioned that several times she would call out, Cruz, 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 but did she ever actually say she was looking for her son, Cruz?
Not to me. She did confirm it to the next door neighbor across the hall when she came to me. She said that I asked her who Cruz was because I was confused who that was because she was yelling out at that name. And she stated that was her son and that she assured Ms. Molina that her son was not in here and that if we would have her son, that she would bring him down to her, but that her son was not up here. So she was the one who confirmed to me who Cruz was.
Okay, and additionally, you mentioned that you have three children, but how many of those children were home?
All three of them. So my one-year-old, my 10-year-old daughter, and my 15-year-old son.
All right. Thank you. Miss Malina, it's your opportunity to ask Ms. Jimenez any questions that you wish to ask her.
So in what I read, you had put that I went up to your house 6 times, and did I ever knock on your door 6 times?
Yes, you did. So if you looked at everything, I even have the times that you came up here. And one of them was at 12 at midnight.
All right, folks, hold on a second. I know this is very important to both of you, but we can only have one person talking at a time. So the question to you, Ms. Jimenez, was you indicated in your pleadings that Ms. Molina came up 6 times. How do you know that?
So it was actually 5. So at 2:30 in the afternoon on July the 4th, July the 4th at 2:45 again, and then at 3, then at 8, and then 12 at midnight. So that's 5 times in one day.
Okay.
That's not true.
Miss Jimenez, you're going to get an opportunity to tell your side of the story. You have to accept the answers as Miss... Ms. Molina, you have to accept the answers as Ms. Jimenez gives them to you. So what's your next question, Ms. Molina?
I don't have any.
Okay. Then it's your opportunity now, Ms. Molina, to tell your version of the story.
Okay, so I had gone to the pool earlier that day with my neighbor and his children. I had heard a child crying the night before, and I continued to hear it when I got back from the pool and got back around 2, and so I went upstairs, I knocked on the door, and I said, do you guys have a child that's crying up here, because I've been hearing it? And she barely opened the door. She said no, and then she asked what time the pool closed at, which I thought was really weird. And then she opened the door a little bit more, and there's a baby on her hip, and she goes, I have this child, and he can't even talk, so I know it wouldn't be him that was crying. And then I saw a girl in the back with a vacuum, and she said, these are my 2 children. And she goes, would you like to come in? And I was like, no. And then that's when I saw my neighbor Melinda upstairs, and was talking to her. And then we came downstairs. Well, I came in my house, was talking to Melinda some more, and then she had left because she had a family function. And then I left, went to my sister's. That's how I know I didn't go up there 6 times, because I was at my sister's. And then I came back, I left again to go watch fireworks. I came back around 9 or 10-ish, and after the first time I went up there, that's when I called the sheriff, and he came. And I just told him my concerns. But before that, I had gone and talked to my neighbors, because I didn't want to jump the gun or have any bad blood between us, because they had just moved in. but I was concerned because I am a mother of three children, so I had asked my neighbors what they thought I should do, and...
Okay, the neighbors aren't witnesses, so you really can't tell us what the neighbors said you should do.
Well, Melinda Kovic, she's my neighbor.
Right.
She's a witness. She's here.
Go ahead.
And, so I told the officer, you know, I was just acting out of concern. I didn't want, you know, I've lived here, I'm going on 2 years living here, and I've never had any issues like this. I live all around children. My children play with the other children. Never, ever have any problems, but it was just concerning. And I never attempted to try to go in their home. As I said, she asked if I wanted to come in, and I told her, no, that was okay. So I was just being a mom that was concerned. And, A couple days later, I actually went up there to try to explain things to them because I don't want there to be kind of bad blood. But that's when the sheriff came and served me this.
All right. So if I understand correctly, you're saying you only went up there one time at 2 o'clock?
No, I went up there one time, and then I called the sheriff, and then later that night, I heard it again, and I went up there. I rang the doorbell. They didn't answer, so I came back downstairs. And then 5 minutes later, the sheriff was here.
Okay, so what time would this have been?
That was when I got back from the fireworks, so it's probably like around 10-ish.
Okay, and then
at night.
Is that the last time you went up there?
Yes.
Okay. All right, anything else that you wish to tell me?
I play with all of the children around me that live here, even when my children are here, and I am not a threat to anybody. And I have a witness to that here, which is Melinda.
Okay. All right, then. Do you have any questions, Ms. Jimenez, to ask Ms. Molina?
No, I don't.
Okay. Then let's go to the witnesses. I believe the first witness that you listed, Ms. Jimenez, is Michael Cisneros.
Yes.
Is he available by phone?
Yes.
All right. We're going to call him, and then... Please listen closely because you should be able to hear everything that's said.
Okay, lady, so it's going to sound like you're on hold for just a minute. Is this Michael Cisneros?
Yes, ma'am.
All right, Mr. Cisneros, could you raise your right hand, please? First of all, we're in the hearing regarding the order of protection. You should know that. But do you, sir, swear or affirm that the testimony or information that you may be called upon to give in this matter both is and will be true to the best of your knowledge, information, and belief?
Yes.
All right. Mr. Cisneros, as I understand it, you got back later in the day on July 4th, is that correct?
I'm sorry, say that again?
You got back to the house where you reside with Ms. Jimenez later in the day on July 4th, is that correct?
Yes, I believe I arrived there about 3 o'clock in the afternoon.
Okay. And then, were you present at it on any of the occasions when Ms. Molina came up to the house?
Yes, on the second occasion when she came knocking, I was the one that answered the door.
What time would that have been, sir?
That had to be, between 5 and 6 in the evening.
Okay, so tell me what you observed.
So, I opened the door and Ms. Molina was standing there, and I asked her, how can I help you? And she asked me if her son was inside. And I said, you know, your son's not in here. It's just my wife and my 3 kids. You know, I was being polite. I offered to, you know, do you want me to call my kids so you can see that? You know, it's just me and my kids here and my wife. And, you know, she was just, she stared off in the distance, and she just seemed, like, really, agitated or nervous or something. And I asked her, you know, how old's your son? She said her son was 4. And I told her, I'm sorry, I can't help you. You know, I wish I could do something, but it's just me and my kids here.
And how did this end?
She said, okay, and she walked downstairs.
Okay. Was that the only time that you saw her come up to the house?
No. That night at 12:30 in the morning, she came and rang my doorbell and knocked. And I looked up at people, and it was her. And that's when I called the sheriff's department to my house. Because earlier that day, after she came in the evening, there was an anonymous tip that there was a child in distress. So an officer came to my house, and I filled him in with the situation that was going on. And he went downstairs, and he had told her that everything was fine, not to come up here again. And he advised us if she came up again to call them and let them deal with it. So at 12:30, she came up again, and I called them, and then they took care of it from there.
Okay. I have a copy of the police report. So the first time, which you say was about 6:30 or so, do you remember the name of the police officer?
The first time when they did the welfare check, when the anonymous tip, that was the first time the sheriff came, and it was Officer Velasquez.
Okay. And did you have contact with either Ms. Montoya or the officers after we're done with the occasion, which you say happened about 6:30 or 7? When was the next one? You said it was about 12:30?
Yes, sir, it was about 12:30 in the morning. I called them, they responded within, I say, 5 to 7 minutes, and they were there, and it was a different officer. I don't remember his name offhand, but I know it's in the police report.
And what happened at that time?
At that time, they came up. I told them what was going on. He said that he was going to go downstairs and talk with her. And he'd come back up after he spoke with her. So the officer came back. I came in after 10 minutes. And he told us that what she was hearing was not reality. And he told her everything was okay. And he asked us what we wanted to do, and I asked him, like, press charges for harassment, because, you know, this was the third time she's came up, and it's 12:30 at night, and it's for a reason that, I mean, just seems really strange to me. And this was our first week in there, we had just moved in. So the officer said, yes, we can press charges for harassment, you might have to show up in court. And he gave me a victim's booklet, the blue booklet. Gave me a case number, and then he told me that they had to take her because she had other stuff going on.
I've already decided that that's not really part of this hearing. But my question to you is, you told the second officer who came that she came 3 times. He told us you were there when she came about 6:30 or 7, and then, as I understand it, she came back up about midnight. What was the when was the third time?
Well, the third time was actually the first time when my wife called me, and my wife's the one that answered the door, and I was at work. So when my wife called me, it had to be around 2:30, I left work and I went home.
Okay. All right. Do you have any questions, Ms. Molina, for Mr. Cisneros?
No.
All right. Then, is there any additional information, either Ms. Jimenez or, well, let me go back to you for just a second, Ms. Jimenez. You mentioned that the first time happened about 2 o'clock, and was there another time shortly after that?
So, yeah, so it was at 2:30 when she came, around 2:30 when she came up the first time. The second time when I opened the door, she was outside with the next door neighbor at 2:45.
Okay, why did you open the door?
Because my husband was coming from work.
Okay, was there any contact, I mean, did Ms. Molina talk to you, did you talk to her? Now I'm talking about the second time.
No, just Michael.
I'm sorry?
No, just Michael when she was going down the stairs, asked her if there was any problem, that my son was making noise, that was it.
Okay, all right. Do you have any questions, any other questions, Ms. Molina, for Mr. Cisneros?
No.
All right. Then let's go to the defense witnesses. I believe you agreed, Ms. Molina, that Ms. Riley didn't really know anything about what happened, but...
Well, I went to her house that day, and then she came to my house. Melinda is here.
You went to her house, what, the day that all this happened?
Yeah.
Are you talking about Ms. Riley or Ms. Covis?
Riley. Ms. Covis lives above me, and she is here.
Right, but my question is, you said that Ms. Riley didn't see or observe anything, yet you say you went up to her house. What time?
No, I drove to her house. She's my sister, Ms. Riley.
Okay. When did you go there?
It was probably around 4:30.
Okay, and how long did you stay there?
Probably like an hour.
Okay.
Hour and a half.
Okay, and how far of a drive is it?
15 minutes.
Okay. All right then. Let's go. You say when you say Ms. Covens is there, is she present and listening? She shouldn't be present and listening to all this. That's not proper. But I guess I just has she been with you listening to all this?
No, she can. You can call her.
Oh, okay. All right then. We'll go ahead and call her.
Okay. Do you have the number?
We do.
I'm going to call Ms. Covens. I'm updating files.
Hello.
Is this Ms. Covens?
Yes, this is Ms. Covens.
Okay, you're on the line with the Oro Valley Court and Judge Pollard.
All right, Miss, we've been mispronouncing your name. I guess I misread your sister's, or I misread Miss Molina's handwriting. So your name is spelled Covers?
Correct.
Okay. And are you in any way related to Tanya Molina?
No, I'm just an upstairs neighbor of hers.
Okay.
I've known her for about a year.
And were you there on July, were you in your house on July 4th?
Yeah, I was.
Okay. And you know the residents that we're speaking about were Miss, Ms. Jimenez lives? Do you know where that house is? Or where that apartment is?
Right across from me.
Okay. Did you see or hear Ms. Molina going up to Ms. Jimenez's house?
I didn't see her go up there, but she came over to my house and knocked on my door, and she looked really, how do I explain, I know she was upset, she felt that.
Now, who came over to your house?
Tanya.
Okay. And can you give us your best estimate as to what time of the day this would be?
Okay, I was going to be leaving to a party, it was probably about, I want
to
say like 3-ish or almost
3. Okay. As I understand it then, there's a hall, a passageway or hallway between your house and Ms. Jimenez's house, is that correct?
Correct, yes.
Did you ever hear a child making any noise?
No, but a lot of us neighbors, even myself, have children, so I mean, I hear crying often or screaming. And so when she came to my door, she seemed very like upset or distressed, and I asked her, I said, is everything okay, what's wrong? And she told me that she was hearing a child crying, and it just seemed unusual because she said, you know, I know everybody's kids, I know your kids, this is a cry that I haven't heard before. And I knew that the neighbors next door had a baby, but at that time I didn't hear anything, and I stopped to listen with her, and I reassured her that everything was probably okay because I didn't hear anything.
So you're right across the hall, and you didn't hear a child crying or saying anything about wanting mama?
No, but I mean, even if it was happening, honestly, like, I probably dismiss it because I hear there's kids below me, there's kids, like, across from me, so, I mean, I could have even dismissed it, so I can't say that she's completely wrong, but at the time when she came to my door, I didn't hear anything.
Well,
I just reassured her that I'm sure everything was fine, and then I walked her downstairs and I told her to go back home. I just walked her back down.
Okay.
And at that time, that's when the neighbor, Nick, I'm not sure what his name is, but he was just getting home, and so he even asked, like, is everything okay? Is my baby making noise or something? And I said, no, I'm sure everything's fine. And then he went home.
And that man went into what we'll call the Jimenez house, the one across from you?
The man that I'm talking about?
Yeah.
He's the neighbor next door.
Oh, he's not part of the family across the hall from you?
Yes. I'm not sure what his name is, but I know the wife's name's Crystal, but...
Okay, does Crystal live next door to you or across the hall from me?
Well, across the hall, which is kind of pretty much next door.
Okay.
I'm on the upstairs, then I got Crystal next door, and then I have a neighbor below me, and then Tanya lives downstairs to the opposite side, so under Crystal.
So the gentleman that you spoke to, he went into Crystal's house?
Yeah, so
her husband. All right. Any questions, Ms. Molina, for your witness, Ms. Covarris? Ms. Molina, did you hear me?
Yes.
Do you have any questions for Ms. Covarris?
Have you ever felt I'm a threat to you or your children?
Let me clarify something, Ms. Montoya, or Ms. Molina. You keep saying that you're not a threat. What what I have to find out is, were there a series of events, meaning more than one, that would tend to injure, insult, or annoy the petitioner, in this case, Ms. Jimenez? Nobody's saying you're a bad person. I don't think anybody said that. They just say that you came up, they contend that you came up to their house 5 times. You've admitted you went up to their house 3 times, so, but,
you know. I went up there once. And then I called the sheriff, and then later that night when I got back from watching the fireworks, I went up there.
And then you went up there about midnight?
It wasn't midnight, it was before midnight.
Okay, all right. All right, then, do you have any further questions, though, for Ms. Colbert?
No.
All right, lastly, Ms. Montoya, you submitted an email of something about police arrest three teens in connection to homicide near Benson Highway. I've reviewed that. I don't know why you think that's important with what we're doing here today.
Just, I guess. To disregard that.
Okay. All right. Does either side have anything else that they want to tell me before I make my decision?
Like I said, I've lived here. I've gone on my second year, and I've never had any issues or problems with my neighbors, and our kids all play. I'm outside a lot. I even went up there a couple days later to try to mend things out between myself and Ms. Hammond, but they I guess didn't want to hear it, so, I even was telling the officer that I didn't know what I should do, and that's why I had gone to my neighbors to talk to them, and I even went to my sister's house and talked to her about it. So I was trying to go about everything in the proper way, and like I said, I did not go up there 5 times, but, you know, a concerned parent, even my sister said, you know, if you're hearing that, then you do need to call someone, because it's out of concern. Wouldn't you want that for your child? And I would.
All right. Anything else that you'd like to tell me, Ms. Jimenez?
Other than we just want to be left alone. We've been just having a rough days ever since that happened, and we want to be left alone. We want to be able to enjoy our apartment, and it's just been horrible for us since this happened, just being after another, having to take time off of work, having to not even be able to sleep in our own bedroom because we don't know, you know, what's going to happen next. It's just, I just want to be left alone, that's it.
All right. Well, Ms. Jimenez, Ms. Montoya, I am going to continue the order in full force and effect. I'm not finding, Ms. Montoya, that you are a bad person or anything. It just seems like you went up there by your own admission 2, if not 3 times. Even the officer told you when you heard about, when you told him about hearing the child screaming, that you don't need to go up there, you can call the police, which is what you should have done. before you went up there, so I'm going to continue the order. Now, Ms. Molina, you have the right to appeal my decision. We're going to email the form to you. I want to make sure you understand, if you do file your appeal, the procedure is detailed in the paper that you're going to get. You have to file those things. You have to file your notice of appeal within 14 days from today's date. If you don't do that, you probably lose your right to appeal. But once you file your notice of appeal, you have to pay, you have to provide a copy of the proceedings. That is, that we've recorded this entire proceeding and the first hearing that Judge Dunstan. But you have to make sure that you follow all the things that are set forth in your right of appeal. So we're going to email this to you, and thank you all very much for your time and attention this afternoon.
Thank you, Your Honor.
I'm sorry.
Yeah,
join with computer audio.
Yes, join with computer audio.
Okay, there's no, she had this movie over here, so I can type my notes. I guess I can't.
If we minimize this, I think we can drag it. Oh, it's not dragging up. No, I'm not sure.
Is it just him?
Well, you can't see everybody. It's everybody's in there. Mm-hmm. You need to talk and see if they can hear you. I don't.
All right. I'm new to this Zoom video, so can you hear me? Hello? Quick, if you want to switch to a different microphone or speak.
Hold on. Oh,
post the mic to unmute.
To unmute.
All right, can you hear me?
Yes,
sir. All right. I see Mr. Stokes. I'm coming up on your Sue Wentzel. Obviously, I'm not Sue Wentzel. And Mr. Simon, I see you. Do we have Ms. Pones?
Yes, she's to the left.
She is.
Oh, I see her on your screen. I see her on mine. Okay, let's go down here. See, it's showing that she's. I'm having the hardest time with your mouse. Does this thing even work?
Yeah, it does.
I don't know where it is, but... I'm trying to get to the little drop down there. I don't know. There it is. There's Ms. Pones. There's the officer.
And there's Mr. Simon.
There's Mr. Simon. So you'll have to use these arrows to see everybody. And I'll test again for the sound.
All right. Can you all hear me?
Yes, Ron.
All right. This is the time set for hearing in case number CM2020000019. I note for the record the presence of Ms. Pones. Is it Pone or Pones? She's not coming through. I could hear it though. All right, now Ms. Pone, could you announce your appearance? I'm struggling a little bit. Okay, thank you. She's still not coming through.
No, she's
bear with us, we're trying to get everything set up.
She's not muted, so I don't know.
Are you muted, Ms. Bone?
Can she say something again?
Can you say something again, Ms. Bone? Can you say something?
Yes, she did. tell her, ask her if she can try using the phone number and call in and use the phone audio because we can't hear her.
Miss Boone, we can't hear you.
She heard her.
Can you call in and we'll do it on phone audio?
She did a thumbs up. She should call in. And then we might want to...
I'm just going to give you a phone number.
Ms. Sessler is the prosecutor's...
Right.
She's muted right now.
Right. I note for the record that the court received today a motion to suppress alleging that that Officer Sessler did not have founded suspicion for stopping Ms. Bone on the date in question. I'll deem the matter at issue by the filing of the motion. State have a witness, Mr. Simon.
Yes, State calls Officer Sessler.
All right. Officer Sessler, could you raise your right hand, please? Do you swear or affirm that the testimony or information that you may be called upon to give in this matter both is and will be true to the best of your knowledge, information, and belief?
That's right.
All right. Go ahead, Mr. Simon.
Thank you, Your Honor. Go ahead and give us your full name, spelling your last name for the record, please.
Sarah S-A-R-A-D, Sessler, S-E-S-S-L-E-R.
And how are you employed?
Police officer of Oro Valley.
And how long have you been a police officer for the town of Oro Valley?
Trying to turn the town.
For the town, like a year and a month.
A year and a month. And do you have any prior law enforcement experience?
I do. In Florida.
In Florida, okay. How long were you a police officer in Florida?
I was employed for about 2 years then.
Okay. All right. Were you on duty on January 12, 2020?
Yes, sir.
And at approximately 12:22, did you have the occasion to come in contact with Skylar Stokes?
Yes, sir.
Go ahead and explain to us how that occurred. Give us a rundown of what you saw and what you did.
I patrol in that area every time I'm in that street. And I know that the businesses are all closed in that complex right there, other than there's a gym that is a further away parking lot. And I know that the Walgreens had already been closed down. There were no lights on in the Walgreens. All of the employee cars were gone. And Mr. Stokes' vehicle was parked on the furthest northwest corner of the lot, facing Tangerine Road. And I observed the headlights and tail lights be on the vehicle. And it looked like there was two occupants inside. Because of the fact that the business was closed and there was no apparent legal reason to be on that property at that time, I parked my vehicle at a corner of the kitchen, kind of behind it, and walked up to the driver's side of the Mr. Stokes' vehicle and made contact with him. And the second that he had rolled down his window, I was able to smell the alcohol emitting from the car. And it stayed constant the entire time that I was up next to the vehicle. So I, at that point, attention further than just the suspicious activity because of the possibility of an intoxicated driver. As I was walking, as I was pulling up to the vehicle, we had actually engaged its brakes and put the vehicle in reverse. It knew parked just a little bit because my vehicle was already behind it. He had turned around to actually see that I was right there behind him. So for that reason, he was detained for a possible DUI investigation. I did pull the passenger of the vehicle out of the car before I spoke to Skylar.
Let's hold off right there. I appreciate that. The motion pending is just to stop.
Okay.
Yeah, that's my fault. Let's talk about jurisdiction. You said the Walgreens. Where is the Walgreens located?
It's at First and Oracle on the southwest corner of First and Oracle in Oro Valley.
All right. And so...
I'm sorry, First and Tangerine. Sorry about that.
Okay, First and Tangerine. All right. So within what town limits is that intersection located?
So that is
Oro
Valley jurisdiction, and it's in B4.
So that's your B. And then during your initial contact with the defendant, how were you able to positively identify him?
He did provide his records to me.
All right. And you had a chance to look at that driver's license?
Yes, sir.
Was there a photograph on the license? And what state was that license out of?
I did not write it down, but I believe it's right now.
All right, and did the photograph on the license fairly resemble the defendant? I presume he was seated in the driver's seat?
He was seated in the driver's seat, and yes.
And do you see him in court today on the Zoom meeting?
Yes, sir.
Where can you describe for us? In which window and what is he wearing?
On my screen, it's the window
next to Terry, it looks like dark colored
polo shirt. I can't tell if it's blue or gray.
All right. So, now, vehicle, were there any other vehicles in the parking lot?
He's right behind the defendant.
No, this was the only vehicle, which is what actually brought my attention to it.
Okay. And again, this is in the middle of the night?
Yes, sir. It was after midnight. It was about 0:22 hours when I observed the vehicle and made contact.
So what did you think was wrong, or what did you suspect at that point?
Like I said, I wanted to see if you had a lawful reason for actually being on the property, as I know it to be closed at that time, and all of the employees were not there anymore. The parking lot was completely dark other than his vehicle and the headlights being on. And from my experience, oftentimes if you're on property of a closed business, it could be a property crime, possible breaking and entering, or it could be something as simple as trying to find a vacant parking lot for activities such as drugs or alcohol and that kind of thing. So those were my suspicions when I made contact with the driver.
Well, thank you. No further questions,
John. Cross examination response. I can see you, but yes, now I can. But it says that your client is Terry and that you're Skylar Stokes, but that's okay.
I switched
computers, Judge, because I thought this microphone was working better than mine. Go ahead. please conduct your cross examination.
Calendar and over the 2 hours for January 12th was in the very early hours of Sunday morning. Would that be accurate to you?
Yes.
leave when you pulled your vehicle up behind him?
Yes.
Where exactly was the vehicle parked originally in the first morning? Also, I wanted to get his location to see the actual parking lot. Where was he?
Yes, something like that. He still was versus Gingrich, and he had the Walgreens that's on the actual corner of First and Gingrich, and his vehicle was facing Gingrich on the northwest corner of the actual business of Walgreens.
I'm sorry, I didn't.
Can you repeat it one more time?
Yes, one more time. I mean, was Mr. Stokes actually in a blind parking space?
Yes, he was in a parking space facing, there's a wall that's blocked off. The Walgreens parking lot from the entry. Parked in that space, but actually the brakes were activated as I drove up, and he was actually preparing to leave. The vehicle was in motion at that point as I got out of my vehicle and stopped.
How close was this window to the actual Walgreens building?
In the spaces just next to it, there. Parking spaces are, there's a row that is just along the building, and then a row, there's a, you know, a drive-through in the parking lot for vehicles to pass, and then he was in that area just next to that, so very close to the building.
Was he facing toward the building or away from the building?
Away from the building. I was pulling up behind the vehicle on the top to the left and center of the vehicle.
What type of vehicle were you driving on the street top?
My marked police vehicle.
A small car, SUV, motorcycle?
It is a patrol vehicle, the Tahoe.
Yes, I've seen him. Is there some way for you to what?
Show the officer the exhibit.
Sure, Jeff can stay on the man and put on the phone screen.
Will we come on the corner and see if she's concerned?
Yes.
Okay, we're going to scan those in and put them up on the screen. Do you want... They both appear to be the same. Do you want both copies?
Yes, please, Jeff. One that's a little bit slight reverse.
Okay.
You know what? I think I already have them on my computer. I'll just pull them up this way.
Does the state have any objection, Mr. Simon, to the court considering defense exhibits A and B?
Do you recall having a conversation with Mr. Stokes after he vacated his vehicle?
Yes, ma'am.
And I'm specifically referring to when he got into the back of your vehicle because it was cold. Do you recall that conversation?
Yes, ma'am.
Do you recall telling Mr. Stokes you're not in trouble right now?
Yes, I do.
And you recall telling Mr. Stokes, the reason I stopped you guys is because you're parked in a business that's closed after hours.
Yes.
And you recall Mr. Stokes' response with, is that illegal?
Yes, I do.
And do you recall what your response was?
I didn't explain everything fully to him, because I did not feel that I needed to completely inform him of everything, and I was trying to see if there was further illegal activity going on. I don't remember my exact words, so.
If I told you that you responded in some suspicion, would that seem accurate to you?
Yes, ma'am, it would.
So, officer, can you tell me specifically the illegal activity that you believe Mr. Stokes was engaged in when you stopped his vehicle?
Like I said, yeah, being on property that was closed business, and I know that on a typical day, there's not anybody in those closed businesses after hours like that. It raises my suspicions that there's something more going on, whether it is just possible drug activity or alcohol use in a vehicle. Those are things that I tend to run across, which would be things like open container violations or, like I said, the unlawful possession or use of drugs and narcotics. Those are two of the possible crimes, and also the possibility of property crimes while that business is closed, whether it be vandalism or burglary or theft or something along those lines. It could have been a real bug when I never see anybody in that parking lot after hours like that. It definitely raises my suspicions of those types of crimes.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear that whole question.
I apologize, Judge. So is it your testimony that you have generalized suspicions of activity that could have been going on?
Yes, ma'am. When it is that time of night and the businesses are closed like that, yes, ma'am.
I don't have the actual exhibit to show you
off. Well, Miss Palms, we now have the exhibit.
Oh,
A or B?
Yes.
Do you want A or B?
B, please.
Okay.
Okay.
Well, I'll take A.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you. There it is.
Thank you, Judge. Officer Sussler, as part of your routine responsibilities when you're on duty, do you have a body camera on your uniform?
Yes,
ma'am. Does that camera record both video and audio of your interactions with people?
Yes, ma'am.
I'm showing you a screenshot in the upper left-hand corner. This is Defendant Dave for the record. On the upper left-hand corner, it says, first at Tangerine. Do you recognize the what's depicted in the picture?
Yes, ma'am.
And can you tell the court what you see in the picture?
That is Tom's vehicle, and my vehicle stopped when I did walk up to him.
Would you agree with me that based on the position of your vehicle, Mr. Stokes was not free to leave?
I was. It was an investigatory stop at the time of stop, and had there not been any further time and nothing had been happening, I would have moved my vehicle to the facility.
May I have Defendant's Exhibit C, please?
You may.
And Officer Sussler, just for the record, what you see in Exhibit A, would that be the still frame of what we would see on the video from your body camera?
Yes.
Officer Sussler, for the record, this is Defendant's Exhibit C, is a boy. in the upper left-hand corner of the picture, it says Earth and Tangerine. Do you recognize what's depicted in this still frame?
Yes, ma'am.
And can you tell the court what this is?
I'm still behind the vehicle here, just as it was stopped. I can't tell you exactly what was happening in the actual encounter or investigation at this point, but yes, I'm behind the vehicle.
Okay, and I believe you've already testified and confirmed based on the position of your vehicle with the forward side show here. Mr. Stokes could not lean into the vehicle if he wanted to, correct?
Correct. It was an investigatory stop at that time.
Just a couple more questions, I'll make sure that I'm all through. Does Oro Valley have regulations on whether or not people can use cell phones in their vehicles while they're driving?
Do we have regulations on that?
Yes,
there is a specific ordinance in Oro Valley where you're operating a vehicle cannot have passengers cannot be using their cell phone in your hand.
Would it be reasonable for a driver of a vehicle to pull over if they wanted to use their cell phone legally while they were in their car?
It would.
No further questions. Thank you very much. Judge, thank you for your assistance with getting to this.
Anything further from the state, Mr. Stein?
Quick follow-up, Your Honor. Officer, you mentioned your experience with your drug activity. Can you expound on that connection with like a case like this, I guess?
There's been several cases where I've come across vehicles in the middle of the night. I've worked night shifts in Oro Valley specifically now for gonna suspend 8 or 9 months here in Oro Valley, but in Florida, where I was employed prior to this, I worked night shifts the majority of the time that I was on as a police officer. And typically, when you come across a vehicle that's in a vacant lot, whether it be a business or off the roadway in a dirt lot or something of that nature, it is because they're trying to engage in some sort of drug activity or alcohol use or something along those lines. I've had several references in Oro Valley specifically where people were in vacant lots or closed business lots in the middle of the night, behind businesses or tucked away and in their cars while they're running or not running.
Okay, all right. That's all, Your Honor.
Thank you. Anything further from the defense, Ms. Pohn?
No, Judge, thank you.
Right. And it's your motion, Ms. Pohn.
Your Honor, I would ask...
Argument.
I would ask the court, Your Honor, to... Judge, I would ask the court at this time to dismiss the current charges before the court regarding my client. Mr. Stokes was not involved in anything that gave the responding officer any reasonable suspicion that he was engaged in any kind of illegal activity. In fact, he testified, Judge, that he was parked in a parking lot. He was already engaged in the process of trying to leave from that area when she approached his vehicle in her car. He was stopped and detained, Your Honor. There was no way that he could possibly leave. Although there are generalized concerns and suspicions that the officer testified to, based on her training and experience, there was nothing specific about what she observed my client doing. It gave her the requisite and reasonable suspicion to actually stop him and engage in further questioning of him. If she had a concern about whether or not he'd been engaged in illegal drug use or alcohol use, Judge, he was leaving the area. She was in her patrol car. Both cars were running. She could have followed him as he left if he made any other indications that he was driving impaired or if he violated any criminal laws. He could have been stopped, Your Honor, at that time in question further. Based on the totality of the circumstances, I don't believe that the state has been able to prove there was reasonable suspicion that he was engaged in any kind of specific illegal activity. If the court's not inclined to dismiss, Your Honor, we would ask the court to dismiss any of the evidence that was obtained after the illegal stop. And otherwise, Judge, I would just refer to my motion.
Thank you, Mr. Simon.
Just real quick, Officer Fessler was on patrol. He worked for me that night. Saw this vehicle parked in the same day. Parking lot, the business was closed. It was after midnight. He drove up to check. And actually, I'm representing.
Right. I'm going to deny the motion. I had Officer Sessler not smell the odor of alcohol, then I think Mr. Stokes would have been free to go. But I think based on the evidence, she was justified in conducting a limited investigation, contacting the driver because of the time of the night, the circumstances, and the fact that all of the nearby businesses were closed. And then once she contacted the driver and smelled alcohol, I think she was justified in conducting further investigation. So, folks, I'm going to have to go off of the Zoom and prepare my minute entry, but I'll have the clerk fax it to you. She'll email it to you. What do we wish to do next, Ms. Bone?
Your Honor, I would have to have a discussion with Mr. Simon about
possible negotiations regarding pending charges, so I would just ask for an opportunity to do that. I don't know if the court wants to set another hearing, so we have it on the calendar. But I did
Mr. Simon
based on
the court's decision.
We'll set the matter for pretrial on...
Well, is August 25th at 1:30, will that work?
Ms. Poe, Mr. Simon, August 25th at
1:30.
Does that work?
Yes, Your Honor.
Ms. Poe?
August 25th, Your Honor?
At 1:30, yes, ma'am.
Yes, I'm available.
Thank you.
Okay.
I need to go to the table so we can do the little words so we can do the...
Okay. So I'll tell them we're going to end the meeting and I'll send them all.
All right, we're going to end the meeting right now, and we'll send you the minute entry. We'll email you the minute entry. Thank you all very much.
Thank you, Judge.
All right. That's the time, Judge.